like, this is exactly what I want. I want a revival in my personal self that is so strong that I can wish everyone well. Like, wow. I know who I am. I know who the Lord is, and I can release you to good and beautiful things.
I bought into the lie, and I spent all my gold. When I feel out of life, how will I ever be whole? And I bartered my dreams for glitter and smoke. I was rich as a king, but my heart was broke.
Well, there you are, and welcome to Redemption's Table. I'm Robert Barge, your host. We just heard J.J. Heller singing The Well off of her 2015 album, Sound of a Living Heart. J.J. and her husband Dave produced what is probably my favorite podcast of all time, Instrumental. It is currently on hiatus, but I encourage you to go find an episode right now. Well, wait and listen to this episode first, but then find an episode of Instrumental and give it a listen. And also check out all of JJ's other great music. Well, today we're talking to my good friend. She's a therapist. She's a life coach. She is a well of wisdom, Steph Cherry. Hey, Steph, it's good to see you back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Robert. How are you?
I'm well as well. I think we're going to be talking about well, maybe.
Well?
Possible.
It is possible.
That's too funny. So I was just commenting to you before we started. Last year about this time, we had a visit. And we started talking about the new year and getting ready for the new year. And I don't know where you are in the new year. I still have wise men around my manger. They just got here the other day, and they're loitering. They won't go home
yet. That's okay. It's fine that they loiter there.
They're still hovering around the manger. I haven't sent them back yet.
No, I think that's fine. Yeah. No pressure from me.
Well, I'm intentional about celebrating Christmas as far as technically the church celebrates Advent, calls it Christmas, and then when Christmas gets here, packs it up and goes home. A lot of faith traditions, some that are more liturgical, celebrate Christmastide till January 5th, and then January 6th is?
Epiphany.
There we go. And we both had one.
Yes.
Yes.
We did. Multiple.
Multiple, yes. And so, yeah, I'm still kind of in that season where I'm just still thinking about the new year.
Me too. It's like it actually just started.
Yes. How's your heart feel about going into a new year?
It feels good. You know, what we talked about before, using that space after Christmas, like to kind of stop and pause and reflect, it helps me see what I really want. And so then I kind of just shift little stuff here and there, you know, and you feel like it's the new year is an invitation to do that, right? An invitation to shift, to create new. So it feels good.
It's not the way the world operates, though.
No, that's very cluttered. It's just like when you're talking about Christmas. It's go, go, go. Christmas is here. Pack it up. Do something else, you know. And according to the church, you start on Christmas Day with deep reflection and, you know, just focus on Him and what He's doing. Very counterintuitive culturally.
Yeah, I saw a quote the other day by Rollhauser. I hope I'm saying his name right. Our society knows how to anticipate an event, but not how to sustain it.
That's good. Or yeah. Savor it.
Yeah. 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 So, New Year. Most people want to talk about new resolutions. New Year's resolutions. I don't know that you do that. I know I don't do that. We've talked about words of the year. That's kind of become a thing. And when we first started talking about it years ago, not a whole lot of people were saying, what's your word of the year? Now that's become a thing. But what is the difference, in your opinion, between having a word of the year and New Year's resolution?
I mean, resolution, you're resolute to do something, right? I'm going to work out. We're going to be so buff in 2024. To me, I call it the revelations, but it's like when you start looking at your life and prayerfully examining it, something's going to pop up. That to me, it's an invitation. That's where the word comes in. It's an invitation to keep your eye open for something that God is doing or inviting you to in that year. So that's where, generally, that's where my word comes from.
Okay. And I think about a word of the year as kind of being like a compass point, or almost like a star to follow, that that it continues to be there, just a single word sometimes, rather than something that I intended to do that I didn't get past the halfway through January before it shifted to the background. So you have your word of the year. I have what I believe to be my word of the year. So do you want to go first?
Yeah, you're holding out on me. I made a little worksheet to help people with their word of the year. I'm just going to read the first part of it.
Okay.
And then I'll give you my word. But it says, ask God for a word, phrase, scripture, poem, or picture for you and your year ahead, and start looking for it, researching it, and allowing the beauty of God's active friendship to curate belonging for 2024. And then what's your word? And that's kind of how I go about finding it. Like,
okay,
masking. And then I, you know, every time I see the thing pop up or hear it or pitch whatever through my year, I'm like, pay attention, you know, pay attention to what's happening right now in the space that you're in. Be present. And, you know, a lot of times I'll just see God all over the place, like moving and trying to just show me things I would miss.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So my word actually came out of a phrase. Do you want the story?
I do. I read the story, and yeah, I definitely want those who are listening to hear the story because I found this fascinating.
So I do not watch TV, but every time I go to my mom's house, I get all I need in like 45 minutes. Like, and so I caught the end of that, the Gwyneth Paltrow trial where what's his face? I don't remember his name. I think he was an eye doctor or something. He sued her saying that she ran into him on the ski slope.
Okay.
And that cost him $300,000 of personal damage and anguish, I guess. So anyway, he drags her through the mud, slandering her, you know, makes her go to court, which highly televised. She has to show up every day, right? Like, it's awful. And then the evidence obviously was all against him. He lost his case. And then when she got up to leave the courtroom after she had won, she walked over to him and whispered something into his ear very briefly. And I was like, what was that? I want to know what this woman who just got drugged through all of this stuff felt compelled to go say to that guy. And so later on, it just popped up in the news story. I was looking at the news online and said that the guy came out and told everyone that she leaned in and just said, I wish you well. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a classy, beautiful, Christ-like example to someone who had just tried to totally destroy you and take from you, right? And I was like, that's what I want. I want that kind of forgiveness, that kind of, I don't have to take what you did to me into my person, and I can release you to better things. I have hope and beauty for your future. I can hold that for you, right? But also just to be able to walk away. I can walk away and wish you well and to leave that blessing on him. So that's where it came from. And then I took the word well out of that.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's, you said the word classy, and that's what came to my mind. And I thought, kudos to Gwyneth. You know, I have a different view of her now. And not that she just elevated herself, you know, and that she didn't do it for that purpose. That's a very humble.
Right. She never knew anyone would know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So your word is well. And you have pursued it. So what, you've been digging in your well. So what have you found out about your well, your word, your well of the word?
Well, every time I say it, I hear my mom, she has such a thick accent. And she's like, well, Stephanie? Anyway, so that's how I hear it, which is great, right? So I thought, okay, great stuff has happened in some wells in the Bible. Like, people are having visions, people are meeting the Lord, people are receiving inheritance, people, you know, are just meeting with their quote unquote destiny at the well, right? There's all these things. And then you're like, oh, some people were thrown in some wells.
I think that was my first comment.
I've been in the well. So, but you know, like you said, you know, Jeremiah was in the well and his friends had to help him out very carefully. Joseph was in a well and he was brought out. And then that whole thing, you know, obviously turned out okay for the Israelites. God used it. And then you just go through it. You see all the places where the spring flows through. It's a representation of the Holy Spirit. It's, you know, it's just all these beautiful pieces of imagery that pile up, and I'm like, this is exactly what I want. I want a revival in my personal self that is so strong that I can wish everyone well. Like, I know who I am, I know who the Lord is, and I can release you to good and beautiful things.
Well, and that would, you know, people will be gathering around that kind of well to throw their buckets in it.
And I hope so. And, you know, that's part of my journey right now is creating things for people to throw their buckets in so that they can have healing. Yeah. So, yes.
Well, that was part of the impetus behind Gomer's house, the house that you and your husband Denby, y'all have been restoring for almost as long as Noah built his ark.
Right. I think it's somewhere on like year 800.
Something.
I'm like, Captain's log, day 40 billion.
But, you know, y'all originally picked the spot you wanted. Even before then, you were wanting your home to be a place where people who'd gotten banged up along the way, or, you know, ministers who needed a break, a respite, to be able to come.
Yes. And it's still going on. And, it, you know, it's always shape shifting according to whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in the moment. Right.
Yeah.
But it is true. Like, it's just a place for people to come get nourishment.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. That's like your word.
Thank you. So what about your word? Did you change it?
Actually, going back end of 2022, I just felt a drawing to the word possible. And part of that, in Luke chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and said, you're going to have a child. And in that passage, and in just there in Luke 1, talks about with God, all things are possible. And you know, there's a passage in Jeremiah chapter 32, where it says, is anything too hard for God? Is anything impossible for God, as some translations put it? Mm-hmm. And it was a reminder when it came upon me that, you know, you pray for a long time for something, or for just a general something, pray generally, and you're still, you know, you're asking, you're seeking, you're knocking, and you're asking and you're not getting answers. You've knocked so much, feel like, well, my knuckles are getting a little bloody, just a little bit. You don't give up, but you get weary. And so when that word rolled up on me, the Holy Spirit rolled that word up on me into 2022, it kind of hit me with a freshness that I think you've forgotten momentarily, Robert, or it's just not in the forefront, that all things are possible with me. And it was a word I needed to hear. And so I carried that word into 2023. And I don't really feel like that word, the fruition of that word, came to pass within the parameters of 2023. And we live on a calendar, God doesn't. And I really think he's extending that word into 2024 for me. So that's where I am right at this point, that possible. Just don't think that's been fully explored, or the promise that is held within that of what is coming. So that's the word.
Have you done a word search for it, like in scripture, or?
I did. I haven't revived that this year, but I did last year.
Just be curious to know where all it is. I mean, obviously, and nothing is impossible, but what's possible?
Yeah, well, anything is possible. If it's within God's plan, God's will, according to God's word, the word he's given us, not our modification, anything we look at and say, oh, well, this means this now. No, it doesn't. It means what it has always meant.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we do words of the year. Another thing that I have done just the last several years is I kind of like when you go to a Chinese restaurant and they give you the placemat and it's the year of the pig, it's the year of the cat, it's the year of whatever. And I'm just last 5 years, I've kind of had years. I can tell you the last 5 years what the years were. And these are more like little symbols of something. Like you were talking about a word and you started looking for the word. Like it started for me in 2020. That year early on became the year of the sheep. And so I put a little sheep on my place where I pray. Went to the farm tractor and farm supply store and got the little sheep figurine. Next year was the year of the fawn, F-A-W-N, for those who can't understand my thick accent. The next year was the year of questions, the year of the question, because 2022 started out with a ton of questions. And I've got a part in my journal where questions that hit me or that God lays upon me through others or just his spirit places upon me. And I write these questions down. These are deeply reflective questions, and that seemed to be 2022, the year of the questions. 23 was the year of the sequoia, as in the sequoia tree.
Yes.
And I think this year is the year of the Beatitudes.
Okay, I love it. Proclaiming it.
Yeah, been working on a manuscript for a while and set it aside for a while.
That's good. Come back and revisit it and put it out there, however God leads you to put it out there.
Yeah. As you've been doing your word exploration, are there scriptures that God has given you to link to your year? Or it may have no connection necessarily with your word, but it just may be a word or a word from the Lord, a verse, scripture verse that you feel impressed that this is important in my life for the coming year.
There was quite a few that came up that resonated with me. Like even about Joseph being in the well, you know, the verse, we know it. It's like, you know, man meant this for bad, but God meant this for good, right? That resonated. And 1 John 3, I can't remember the number, but it's 1 John 3, and it talks about, you know, I leave you this blessing, I wish you well. And I thought, oh, that's so good. Like, I just think of like sending out little Holy Spirit bombs to people. Like, I really do hope that, you know, you have goodness in your life. Like, I want to leave you with that. But yeah, gosh, there were so many. I should have brought my thing, but there were so many about things that were received at the well.
Mm-hmm.
And those all spoke to me.
You know, there's a passage in Genesis where they get into argument over the well, and mm-hmm. they just go dig another well rather than have a fight over it. And it's like, literally, I wish you well. All right, yeah, there, you want that well? Okay, I'll go dig another one.
Literally, yeah.
I'm curious. And sometime the last few days, there aren't that many books of the Bible that have 20 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was curious how many of those that do have up to 24 verses. And I just kind of went on an exploration just to see. And there were a couple of them that I thought would be good verses. Some of them were just that did have a 20, 24. They were just conveying information. But a couple of them that I thought would be fitting for anybody's year, really. Proverbs 20, 24. Says a person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? Now, we're very familiar with the passage. It says a person will make plans in their heart, but the Lord determines their steps. And this is a companion proverb. And essentially it's saying, you know, your steps are directed by the Lord. How can you understand your own way? In other words, he's the one determining your path. Why do we spend so much time trying to understand what God is doing? And why are you doing this now? And where are you leading me? You know, and it's just essentially saying, trust, you know, how can you understand it? Which I thought
that
was
good.
Yeah, get in the car. Pop the clutch from last year.
Yeah.
And the other one that deeply impressed me personally was Acts 20, 24. The Apostle Paul saying, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace.
That's good.
I wish you well.
I wish you well. I do that on different things. I read them all on my birthday every year, 4-2-4. And it always ministers to me. One of them is in Matthew. And it talks about how his fame went out, Jesus' fame went out, and then people were healed. Mm. And I'm like, that's what I want. Like, if I could, you know, put something on me, my birthday, my life, that would be it. So it's always interesting to me to go and do what you did. What are you saying right here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole key in planning your year. Like, you know, you're talking about resolutions. But you're looking at your year to see where you can be on the lookout for what God is doing.
Yeah.
And actively participate with him. Go ahead.
It just made me think of something that happened to me back end of November. I was hiking in Canyonlands. It was one of those days where there was little resistance within myself to the hike. And also I started thinking about what else I've got to do when I get back. You know, sometimes you're not always present to where you are. And it was as if God spoke to me, but he spoke through me. And I said out loud as I'm hiking and I'm turning to the right on the trail, sharp right. And this came out of my mouth, stop and do a 360 to where you are right now. That came out. I said it out loud. And so I did it. And when I did the 360, I got about a 270 degrees around in the turn, and I'm looking straight at this doe, and she's looking at me. And I just, you know, like, wow, just in that moment, I would have missed her altogether because I turned away from her when that trail turned. And I stood there, took several photos. And then I noticed she looked back over in another direction, and I looked to where she was looking. And there was a stag right there, a buck. And he was also looking at me. I go back to the first picture I took of her, and he's in it, but I didn't see it. But it was just in that moment, kind of like stop, drop, and pray.
Yes.
Stop and look where you are right now. And that's every day that you know, God could say that to any one of us, because we're blowing past a lot.
Right. Pay attention.
Yeah. So anyone who is listening who, you know, kind of stirred the water, so to speak, on a word of the year or scripture of the year or the year of this or that, what counsel would you give them to be able to hear a word of the year if they haven't done that yet? What would you say to them?
Well, first, I mean, it's very simple. You just ask, right? And if you do not hear, ask somebody else. I find that, like, God is speaking to you, but you're not seeing it. That's what happens a lot of times. So, like, one of my friends was saying, I'm not hearing, you know, the whole thing. And then she starts telling me these stories just from her day. And I'm like, there's a theme here. Do you not see the theme? You know, and of course, no, because you're in it. You're emotionally involved in it. And so then out of that, after you point it all out, you know, they're like, yes, that's what God is saying to me. I can clearly see that now. It resonates, or it brings tears to your eyes, or, and you know what? It doesn't have to be some big, huge, like, epiphany, epiphany jokes. But it doesn't have to be like that. It could just honestly be a word that you pick out that you pray for. Right? Like, it could be a grace that you want. It could be a beatitude. It could be a fruit of the spirit. It could be anything. And you're like, okay, Jesus, meet me in this thing. Right? I want to see you move. I want you to use your Holy Spirit to wake me up every time I see it, so I don't go through my day purposeless. Right? Teach me to number my days. So show me where you're working. Show me what you want me to do. Show me, is there a place in my heart that you want to, like, cause a shift or a change? And then name it and help me act on it. But I always say involve other people. Involve other people. And then they can pray with you, you know. And like we talked about Jehovah Sneaky, you know, because he's going to show up and do some crazy stuff. So then your friends can laugh at you too.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had this happen early on in the year. Out of the blue, two different individuals sent me. One sent me, just texted me a verse. Didn't give me just gave me the address. I had to go look at it myself. And then I was in worship on New Year's Eve morning. And the pastor where I was worshiping, Jason, on the way out the door, I spoke to him. He preached a really, really good message. And all of a sudden he said, open up his Bible. And he shared a verse out of the blue with me. And I'm just sharing, listen to what other people are saying that you may not be aware that they're saying from the Lord. And now I'm like, okay, I'm looking for breadcrumbs. I'm looking for more of that through the year. Anytime somebody shares a verse with me. Hopefully that's Holy Spirit prompted. Jehovah Sneaky.
Jehovah Sneaky.
Yeah. It's Yeah, he wishes us well, does he not?
Yes, and but he has wily ways about just saying, "Hey, I'm going, hop in,"
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, it's always good to talk with you.
You too. I always enjoy getting to be on your podcast, Robert. Thank you.
You're welcome. We will do it again. We're going to let everybody go. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see you back at the table next week. Until next time.